My mama would say, you gotta fight for what is right. To her I would say, I wanna give back the world some light. But it's an empty road, I feel so alone, I forgot. Could find with Christ. You wanna change the world, but you don't know where you should start. But you can't give your all unless you let God inside your heart. You could find with Christ if you're one with Christ.
Hey, good morning, Patriots, and it's Tuesday, May 14th in the year 2024. You know, yesterday my dad and I worked and built a, I call it my probably my finest redneck construction project ever. Most of you don't know that I was actually a really high-end Finnish carpenter at one point in my life. And yesterday, I would not qualify that work into that category. However, I will qualify it as a really cool meat bird pen that we created. Rummaged all around the farm, and we found all sorts of good stuff to incorporate. And we now have a very cool meat bird pen, which I'll get some pictures up later today. Have Nikki post them. It's pretty neat. And it's I think what's probably the greatest satisfaction of that whole thing is all the materials were here around the ranch. I just had to dig them out and use them and repurpose some gates and stuff. So it was actually pretty cool. So they'll get in their little pen today. They have about 3 weeks life expectancy left before they become dinner, or at least frozen dinners. And that'll be good. And then we'll move on with our meat birds. But and by the way, if I don't know where... And I'm just speaking, I know she's in chat right now. Lynn's, who is raising horses, she has got some pictures. I've seen them now, some videos of her colt. And I'll tell you what, that is a beautiful animal. I love horses. I think you all know that. And I always have. And especially since I had that whole experience up in Montana and kind of like reconnected with my roots of my ancestral DNA from my grandfather on horse riding. And then was given an amazing gift for everybody for Christmas, which is my horse blanket and some bridal stuff. So anyway, horses are definitely in the future, just we're not ready for them up here yet. There's so much other infrastructure work that has to be done. And that was, I think people have asked, and I really haven't brought that up to date. We had such rains this year. Our fields were soaked. It would have been an absolute disaster for horses. We got by with cattle, but there's a ton of work that has to be done infrastructure-wise. Our fields, even to the first week in May, or I guess I should say whenever I left for the eclipse event, which was, I guess that's right, it was the first week in May, I think it was, or no, maybe it was first week in April. I've actually lost track of that. Anyway, I was gone for about 30 days, but when I left then, the field, our lower field, flat field, was still sit with like 2 inches of standing water. And it shows the grass is growing sporadically this year. It's good. It's rich. I'm moving the cattle down next week to that lower pasture, and we're doing all of our cattle processing next week, banding and ivermectin and probably some basic four-way shots and deworming and a few other things, defly. So we're going to get that all set up. I'm really fortunate. I have a neighbor up near me whose name is Michelle. She is, and I'm not exaggerating, she's literally a horse or a cow whisperer. We were laughing yesterday. She asked her husband to go down and help her and take care of one of the fields. She has about 150 head. And it took he and his buddies, and I went to high school with him. He's a great guy, really is. And it took him 3 hours to get the cows into the pen. And so she intentionally went down, and she said, I just went down and took some horse treats, and I had the entire herd follow me and go into the pen in 3 minutes. She said, so I made sure and did a video and showed everybody. So that's really cool. So we're working on that stuff up here. Those will be some forthcoming stories. What's coming and some exciting stuff. And it's, I say all this because we're going to dig into some of the insanity like we will do every day, but it's really refreshing, as you know, or should know, when we break away from it all and get down to the roots of who we really are. We are living in such a disconnected world, and that increasingly puts our focus on the insanity of the disconnect. It always stuns me when we sit here with, you know, 7 billion people in the world. They're talking about introducing 1 billion robots by 2030. And you're going to hear that this morning. There's just a level of insanity that's going on in our world that's beyond imagination. And I kind of have a standing rule. If you're a robot and you come on the property, I'm going to shoot you. If you're a woke person coming on the property to harm my cattle, I'm going to shoot you. If, and I know that's probably not godly, but, it's me. So I just want to put that out there, you know, because this is God's country up here, and, I shall defend, quite frankly. And so, you know, and the only thing I'm missing right now, which I'll try to invest in this year, is a backhoe and probably some pigs, and just put it like that. I'm just so sick and tired of people trying to force their way on other people, you know, and I like, you want to live your way. You want to take that mRNA shot. You want to suck yourself down with nanotech. You want to turn yourself into a hybrid human robot. Have at it. Like, God bless you. Have at it. We'll see you when we get to heaven. You're probably taking the elevator to hell, but that's okay. It's a choice you're making, and we're going to try to be there for you. We're going to love you. We're going to pray for you, but don't step in my Wheaties. Like, seriously, like, keep your feet away from my property, because you have no business here. And I'm all about, like, you know, if you want to come and stand on the other side of the fence and try to tell me I shouldn't eat bacon while I eat bacon, I'll put up with that for about so long until I take out the bear spray and the spray in the face so you go away. I mean, it's just like, this is about how we have to get to, because we're getting really tired of being force-fed all of these things. And in particular, when we start to get into children and animals, for that I will shall defend. I mean, at 100%, for that I shall defend. And my parents, by the way, another bad one. Don't touch. Like, hands off, stay away. We are going to be here, and we're going to enjoy ourselves. And if that means that you're going to try to cut off my supplies to coffee, I'll overcome. Don't worry. I'll just be a lot more cranky when I see you, and you won't like that either. So just like people, like, take a chill pill. seriously, if you want to go kill yourself and turn yourself into a robot, I'm all good. And just don't step across the line. And this is all, this really goes to like every single, and really this message is to a greater group of people that actually, they're the elites that think that they have control over everything. And with that breeds an entire army of idiots. There's a fantastic quote I came across this morning, and this is anonymous quote because I actually don't have source. I think it just was a quote on Telegram from what I can tell. So there is no source to it, otherwise I would give credit, but it's just a wonderful quote. Years from now, it says, this was the quote, years from now, people will look back on this time and many will hang their heads in shame as they remember the evil they went along with and the heroes they ridiculed. Border Patrol, that would be you. All you COVID woke idiots, that would be you. I mean, literally, it's just like, come on, folks. This is, there's a fire here in faith, and I've been really seeking it a lot, and I know you know how I see, you know, the Bible for me literally is a war manual. It's a field manual of war, and I don't exaggerate about that. And that's how I read it. That's how I see it, because we're in a war, and I'm all about the loving and forgiving experience of being with our brothers, but there's a lot of people out here that either need to get on board with being our brothers or like get out of the way, because we really don't have time right now for the idea of trying to steal our lives. And since our pulpits, to a large measure, have decided to sell out and become part of this woke nonsense, it's up to us, God's children, to hold that line. So there, that's my little beginning intro monologue for you this morning. Let's talk about one of our sponsors. I love our sponsors. They're good people. They stay with us. I respect them and am grateful for them. One of those sponsors is, of course, is Birch Gold. And Birch Gold has been with us now for about a year and a half, doing a fantastic job. Here's the thing. There's a very common sense reason gold is pushing to all-time highs right now. And it really is, because part of this is the cost of goods continue to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed, which is a joke. And since January 21, since January 21st, cost of living is up 17.9%. I argue it's even higher, because you know how I am. I'm looking at the true cost of goods. It's actually in some markets 30 and 50%, which is insane. The national debt continues to skyrocket. It's now above $34 trillion. Which tells you we're just in a clown show now. There's no reason to even call it debt. It's just like they're printing money. And by the way, they're taking your taxes while they can print infinite money. Figure that one out. I mean, I'm really challenging it. Like, next time you write a check to the IRS, remember, they're printing $34 trillion in debt and you're paying them money. I'm sure your money makes a big difference. This is a presidential election year. And where we go in this year is going to have massive implications for the country. And all of this is adding up to becoming a whole matrix of instability and uncertainty. And that is why you need to get yourself anchored in gold and silver, precious metals. Birch Gold Group, they're there for you. Just type in BARDS and text it to 989898. Type in BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, and type it to 989898. Text that. You're going to receive a free information package. You're going to go through it, read it, because you're diligent and you get excited when you receive something like that. And you're going to be, wow, I'm informed. And then you're going to pick up the phone. You're going to go, hey, Birch Gold Group, how can you help me? If you have an existing 401k or IRA, you're going to be able to do like jam it and go, okay, I'd like to move it over. And they're going to tell you, because you have an existing 401k or IRA, they will move it to a precious metals backed retirement account at no extra charge, no additional charge to you. They can also help you set up retirement accounts and give you advice on all sorts of things, precious metals. That's what they do. They have an A-plus business rating or A-plus rating with the Business Bureau, and they literally have tens of thousands of customers and many BARDS Nation people I know, because I know people have told me they've talked to them and they've been pretty impressed. I'm impressed. So anyway, check it out. So just text BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898. Claim your free info packet. Protect your savings. Hedge against uncertainty. Be smart. And don't let the deep state take your money. Bottom line, good stuff. That's where we want to be. All right, listen to this. This is, I don't know if you've heard me mention before, InQtel. InQtel is a CIA-funded capital venture company. They've done all sorts of wonderful things for us. Like they brought us Apple, Facebook, Google, and Amazon. All of these things because in some way or another, the technologies that these companies had to offer had a benefit for the intelligence agencies, which is another word just saying they had benefit to enslaving the American people and keeping them blind. I'm just going to read this. This is from Wall Street Apes, and it just begins with, "How deep does the web of corruption and deception go? The CIA created and funded a venture capital company called InQtel." Yep, they sure did. InQtel provided funding for Apple, Facebook, Google, Amazon. Through InQtel, the CIA provides early-stage equity funding to companies building technology that might prove useful to intelligence agencies. KPMG is evident that the intelligence community research funding helped not only Google, but Silicon Valley as a whole. Yes, Silicon Valley is essentially an intelligence agency operation right in our country that was done to install technologies that would enslave the American people under the name of get it free and buy a cool iPhone. InQtel. In 1999, the peak of the dot-com boom, the CIA launched InQtel, a Silicon Valley venture capital fund with a mission to invest in startups that aligned with the intelligence agency's needs. In other words, to enslave the public, MKUltra them, and ultimately poison them with mRNA. The Google history crash course is this. In 1994, two PhD students, when it was Sergey Brin and the other was Larry Page, began working on their automated web crawling and page ranking application as part of their research project that they had bet on making exploding the internet easy to access, and it paid off enormously. If you don't remember the early internet, it was basically like a bulletin board. It worked a lot like 4chan, or it worked a lot like what we know as 8chan or 8kun. It was that sort of a format. It was difficult to find things, very difficult, and you had to know a lot of coding. So what Google's process was to create a web crawling service, and all of this in the end was funded by the CIA. Sergey Brin's part of the Stanford research was funded by the NSA, our friends, and CIA, even closer friends. At some point, we love you guys. That's why we know you listen to us every day. At some point, Sergey Brin, one of the top co-founders of Google, reported the progress to the representatives of the U.S. intelligence agency. Of course, they did. And then there's this part. Google Earth had CIA investments. So in 2003, the CIA, through InQtel, would invest in Keyhole. Now, Keyhole was a startup that built a 3D global mapping software. One of its first uses was to support U.S. troops during Operation Iraqi Freedom, to be able to find all those Iraqis, and especially the 9 out of 10 Christians, which we killed, the campaign to overthrow Saddam Hussein. Yes, of course. In the following year, Google bought Keyhole, whose team now included CIA personnel. Google would soon turn Keyhole into the basis for Google Earth. So from the very beginning, Google Earth was just a CIA mapping program. And then they used crowdsourcing aspects of it to improve their operations, refine their tools to monitor and to track and surveil. Only a year after the purchase, the director responsible for initially investing in Keyhole at the CIA investing firm in InQtel moved to take a position at Google. And there's no surprise. So this is kind of the nepotistic way that they work. They invest and then they bring their people on board and they take over. And then it's not officially CIA. It's a cutout is what effectively it is. And you have former CIA officers, which are always CIA officers. Look, and by the way, if anybody ever questions that, I worked for one of those companies. That was called Orbis. And it's not the same Orbis that still exists. If you look over and someone said to me like, oh, my goodness, he worked for Orbis in UK. No, there's another Orbis. But I worked for Orbis Operations. And they are just this exact type of model. Okay. And that's what they do. They bring over former agency folks and they run the company. They're not always agency folks. They never stop being agency folks. All right. So Google NSA, Google Federal was launched in 2006 and its purpose is to serve federal contracts. At a certain point, this branch of Google had so many former NSA staff that they became known as NSA West. See how that works? When there was a hacker's threat from China and other countries, journalists quote, Google agreed to provide information about traffic on its networks in exchange for intelligence from the NSA about what it knew about their foreign hackers. While both Google and the intelligence community deny that the CIA directly funded the startup of Google's, it's evident that the intelligence community's research funding helped not only Google, but Silicon Valley as a whole, which it did because the CIA opened an office in Silicon Valley for the sole purpose of funding startups. So there's your morning history lesson, something exciting. And, oh, but here's even better. You're going to love this. This is so exciting. This is really something. Now, here we go. Now, listen to this. They have found nanotech in Coca-Cola and Pepsi products. Yes, that's true. Your favorite drink that will burn the hole in your stomach now has nanotech to fill those holes. Microsoft and the Coca-Cola company have announced a 5-year strategic partnership. Isn't that joyous? It just sounds so good, doesn't it? 5-year strategic plan to enable the adoption of leading-edge technology and foster innovation in and productivity globally. Now, just think about that for a minute. We're talking about a soda, and we are now partnering with Microsoft to enhance our edge technology and foster innovation. I'm really trying to see here what needs to be fostered. It's a doggone can being filled with liquid. Okay, and they've already got that automation down pretty well. And it's all automated, by the way. So there's no need for robots. They already have them. As part of the partnership, As part of the partnership, Coca-Cola has made about $1.1 billion a commitment to the Microsoft Cloud and its generative AI capabilities. Oh, I'm sure that's all going to work out well for everybody consuming the product. Using Azure OpenAI service, Coca-Cola is currently exploring the use of generative AI-powered digital assistants. Oh my gosh, that's a mouthful. This is so much straight-up marketing BS. Coca-Cola is currently exploring the use of generative AI-powered digital assistants to improve performance of what? It's a Coke, for goodness sake. Metrics related to customer experience, streamline operations, and improve efficiencies. In other words, if you decide to boycott Coke, they will target you and send a drone strike thanks to their integrated AI with the Department of Defense's new technology and InQtel's investment into personal drones that will explode in your hand. This is all good. This is all coming together very well. You cannot escape them. So, the collaboration underscores Coca-Cola's ongoing technology transformation underpinned by the Microsoft Cloud as Coca-Cola's globally preferred and strategic cloud and AI platform. This sounds good. Makes that Coke sound all that better when you drink it, doesn't it? Now, did you know that they have found nanotechnology in Coca-Cola and in Pepsi products? Ooh, here we go. Now it gets meaty. Now, I'll put the data study in the comments, right? This is from the person who wrote this, letting you know that there's the official article that I was reading through and where they found the nanoparticles in Pepsi Coke. Now it goes into a whole bunch of things of how it wants to target certain parts of the body. And not only that, did they want in the image in this article, apparently, it shows the news clip where the Coca-Cola, where it's the Coca-Cola, but had an eyeball, like all kinds of other organ-looking things for its letters. It's kind of freaking creepy. A little bit, they're putting a living being in you. They're creating, you have to look at what's happening here, and this is whole transhumanist stuff. They're taking your shell, and every chance they get, they're feeding that shell with this new self-assembling nanobots. These self-assembling nanobots and the other things. And by the way, everybody is somewhat susceptible to it, but you need to understand that there's a fear element to this. They want us all to believe we can't escape. We have about 70% of the world that took the vax. We are a minority. I just want to be clear about that. We are a minority. What is actually happening here is we have the ability to be susceptible to this, but if they didn't need the vax, they wouldn't have done it by the vax. I'm serious. If they could have air sprayed it, if they could have put it in your food, put it in your salads, put it in your toilet paper, whatever, they would have done it and they would have never done the vax. But the vax was critical because the vax needed to build the foundation material that all these other products now feed. So that tech, and if you're one of those that took the vax, I got bad news for you. You better be clean on your diet and you better be repenting heavily. And I'm not kidding about any of that. There's no way that we know of to purify the body totally from the concept of the vax, other than, and we know one thing, absolute repentance before the throne and living a holy life. in the acceptance of Christ. We know this, in fact. And other than that, what a lot of these products are doing and why we see this explosion of nanotech is because in order to sustain the operation of a transhumanist population, it's a foreign product in the body. Now, if you know anything about organ transplants, very important. There's a rejection problem with this because the body doesn't naturally accept organs. And what they seldom tell you about organ transplants is many of these organs that people receive, they are on anti-rejection drugs for the rest of their life. That tells you the nature of the body. So when we start talking about nanotech and we start talking about putting foreign substances in the body, the normal way that the body works is to expel it and to get rid of it. So what's going on here is that the vaxxed is that they've got a foundation in them now. It's been put into the bloodstream. It's modified into their cells and even modified some of their genes. That's a gene therapy thing that they talk about. It's the hydrogel, the self-assembling nanotech, the graphene oxide, all those wonderful things they put in that product. And now these products are only enhancing it further. So you can imagine that person is just feeling so good about themselves because they're now on vax number 8. And it's like, I've totally protected my system from the evils of the outside world. I'm not going to get chicken flu, bird flu, whatever. I'm well prepared. I'm going to go get a case of Coke and I'm going to drink in celebration today with my cake that I bought at Costco, with my pork that I bought from China. And all of these things have nanotech in them. What is happening? It's feeding that base that's in them and it's allowing it to settle in more, grow, and be reinforced. If they stopped clean and went to a clean diet, some of it would die off. And I don't know about the rest of it, but that's what we're seeing here. So this is the trend in the food industry. And of course, it's all the trend towards trying to control us human beings. And that's what can I say? It's one of those things. Now, listen to this. This is in the big news today. And this is probably some of the bigger parts of this, right? This is a place where we are looking at the rise of the Vatican. Now, they've just said, I just want you to hear this, first of all. This is pretty crazy. The Vatican is on the move. So take a listen to what they have to say, and then we'll expand on this in just a second. Here's the beginning report on this, right here.
Here's one for you. Why is the Vatican holding a press conference this Thursday? A reason that they give for this press conference is cause for alarm. But before I move on, I must say this video is for entertainment purposes only. With that being said, let's take a look, shall we? Vatican preparing guidelines for apparitions and other supernatural phenomena. So guidelines, the Vatican puts out guidelines all the time, and they update them all the time. But regarding supernatural phenomenon and apparitions, they haven't done it since 1978. The Vatican is preparing to release a document giving guidance on how to discern supernatural phenomena. The Holy See Press Office announced the upcoming document will be published May 17th with a live stream press conference. They are in the process of finalizing a new text with clear guidelines and norms for the discernment of apparitions and other phenomena, according to the National Catholic Register. Why are they so concerned that we might not understand the difference between apparitions and other phenomenons? I don't know. Maybe we should look and see how the Vatican defines an apparition. An apparition refers to an instance in which a divine entity, such as a saint, the Virgin Mary, or Christ himself, makes itself known to a person on earth. I told you it was weird. What do they think we're going to see that we would not be able to discern between the supernatural and other phenomena? Is this really just an update to their guidelines, or is it a preemptive strike? I'm kind of leaning towards the preemptive strike, getting the information out there before it happens. But I have no idea. I do know. I'm interested. And I'll be watching.
All right, so that's report number one. Here's report number two.
Do you guys want to see Joe Biden's campaign go up in smoke in 15 seconds?
This is the White House from today.
Four, we believe Israel can and must do more to ensure the protection and well-being of innocent civilians. We do not believe what is happening in Gaza is a genocide. We have been firmly on record rejecting that proposition.
Joe Biden's mainstream media would say different, but I digress. If you stayed this long and I have your attention, I'd like to talk to you about something else. Ashley Biden's diary. Those of you who don't know, a mom from Florida was sentenced to jail time last month for the perceived theft of Ashley Biden's diary. Biden's diary, which fact checkers have long tried to debunk as Russian propaganda, a smear campaign against Joe Biden, been determined unequivocally to be factual based on a letter that was sent to the judge that sentenced the Florida mom to jail from Ashley Biden. In the letter, Ashley Biden confirms that the diary is hers and she is appalled that people are using it against her father when it comes to him campaigning for the 2024 election. He's asking for a heftier sentence against the woman who reportedly stole it, which then prompted the fact checkers, most famously known Snopes, to have to take it from an unproven to a true account. The diary, in which Ashley Biden describes inappropriate showers with her father at a very young age, is a true thing. It exists. If Joe Biden doesn't care about the well-being of his own children, what the hell makes you...
Okay, so there we have report number two. And you're like, well, now why would you bring in Ashley Biden's diary? Because, and dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, what does Project Bluebeam do? All of this is a major distraction to collapse the world into a single world order because the truth is coming out.
On May 17th, 2024, the Vatican will release a detailed document providing guidance on how to discern supernatural phenomena, apparitions, appearances, or communication with divine beings, such as saints, angels, or Christ himself. The last time the Vatican released guidance on apparitions was in 1978 under Pope Paul VI. That document, Norms Regarding the Manner of Proceedings in the Discernment of Presumed Apparitions or Revelations, was released due to the increased influence of mass media. The miracle of Fatima in 1917 is perhaps the most well-documented apparition in the modern day. After an alleged series of appearances by the Virgin Mary to several peasant children that promised a public miracle, tens of thousands of people in Fatima claimed to witness the sun move erratically across the sky and produce radiant colors for several minutes. Project Bluebeam is a conspiracy theory that claims that NASA and other government agencies are attempting to implement a New Age religion with the Antichrist at its head and start a new world order via a technologically simulated second coming. This theory was put forth by a man named Serge Monast, a Canadian journalist who published the theory in 1994. According to Monast, Project Bluebeam would involve several steps. The first step would allegedly involve faking discoveries that would discredit all fundamental religious doctrines. Then three-dimensional optical holograms and sounds would be projected into the sky, simulating figures important to various cultures and religions, which would merge into one after explanations of their individual mistakes. Telepathic electronic means would be used to communicate with each individual on Earth, convincing them that their God is speaking to them directly. The final step would supposedly use electronic means to create the illusion of an alien invasion, or the perception of the rapture and return of Jesus, to manipulate believers into accepting the new religion. Monast claimed that his work exposing Project Bluebeam had made him a target for harassment by government authorities, which he believed was part of a campaign to silence him. According to reports and his own accounts, Monast and another journalist were repeatedly arrested and had their children taken away by authorities, ostensibly due to their involvement in publicizing conspiracy theories, which the government found disruptive or threatening. Monast attributed his legal and personal troubles to his stance against what he believed to be a global conspiracy. He ultimately died of a heart attack in 1996, which some claim was induced or somehow facilitated by government agents as a way to permanently silence him.
You see, this is so good. I mean, seriously, now let's just walk it a little bit, because we've talked about Coca-Cola and nanotech. We've talked about the vax. We have talked about Ashley Biden's diary. All of these things are starting to reveal the bigger part of what's going on. And then suddenly the Catholic Church is coming out, the Pope is going to come out and say, whoa, we got some guidance on spiritual entities. Okay, here is my theory for you and why I believe the role of the remnant becomes ever more important. And I'm really serious about what I'm going to say. If you haven't been tracking, one of the things they've been doing across the United States is doing these massive microwave bursts. I mean, it's like crazy. They've been in all through the night. They've been doing microwave saturation, which people have been claiming to be HARP, which might be true. We just had this thing about the supposed Borealis here just happened. It's fake. That was all HARP, probably. And we have this solar eclipse that just happened, whichever, whatever that was. There's even some astrologists that say that doesn't make sense because apparently I'm not an astrology person. Don't even touch it. But the fact is that what their reports were that it didn't make sense because the sun and the moon were not supposed to be where they were. I don't know. But here's what I do know. That technology that's in people is a foundation for creating a bridge between a telepathic frequency. In other words, a frequency to get into your mind and a frequency to affect the way we think. We know this already. That's not even disputable because the self-assembling nanotech, the graphene oxide and the DARPA hydrogel create a foundation for something that can pass the blood-brain barrier. And what does that do? We've got all sorts of theories about creating and triggering some sort of false disease, which might happen. That's also possible. That could be disease X. They can trigger things like Marburg because within this nanotech, there are small particles that they can initiate that will then create the symptoms in a body that will look like a disease. In other words, they can tailor a disease so that they can tailor a cure and provide you to get you into more vaccines. But here's what I do think. Because I do also know that the frequency information that you're talking, that they're talking about already exists. There's a microwave frequency that they developed under the Cold War that was developed up in one of the labs in the Middle East or in the Northeast. They used it in Iraq One. And what they did is during Iraq One, when they were beginning to do the preparing for the invasion, the calculus was coming out that we were going to lose between 30 and 60% of our invading troops if we went into trench warfare with the Iraqis. They had a major problem because the Red Guard had heavily fortified the whole perimeter and border of Iraq as we were coming in from Saudi Arabia and Kuwait. The technology that they used was a subcranial transmission using microwave frequencies that was able to project the voice of Allah within the troops of the Iraqis. What that did is it caused them, and if you recall in that war, if you were at all paying attention, there was a mass exodus of people that went in and said, we give up, and they left. They walked back to Iraq. What was remaining was the Red Guard. That was basically all we had to deal with. And then the way we dealt with them was with two areas. We simply used bulldozers and buried them alive. And the other side was they took a flanking maneuver with the Abrams tanks and they destroyed a large portion of them. When they got down to the final ones that were in Kuwait, they used anything and everything they could and any explosive, doesn't matter. And they basically created the highway of death, which was the highway that went from Kuwait to Iraq. And they incinerated everybody down to the last person. And not exaggerating about any of that. It's one of the most unbelievable destructions of an army. Ruthless, callous, and inhumane. Bottom line. Okay. That technology I'm talking about is huge because it's all part of where I think that we are going. My personal theory and why they're trying to put nanotech in everything and why they're fortifying all of this is they're preparing for a big event. And that big event is going to require that people have the basic hardware in their system to be able to receive the frequency and to experience the illusion of Project Bluebeam. I do not believe that Project Bluebeam is actually what they say it is. They keep telling you Project Bluebeam is some sort of like this laser holographic projection into the sky. There are probably elements of that that are true. And part of the reason I believe that they're also doing so many chemtrails is to saturate the sky with these reflective materials that will allow the hologram to actually work. We've been seeing those holograms tested in various parts of the world, including China and other things, to create virtual events of like whales coming out of the sky and things like that. That's basic technology of Project Bluebeam. But the infrastructure to do that is massive. So you probably have a tie-in as well with Elon Musk's new global prison grid system that he's putting up that's going to tie this all in. But in the bottom line is the only way to make this effectively work in Project Bluebeam is to personalize it. That means in your optical nerves, you need to see what they want you to see. How does that happen? Well, guess what? Put in some self-assembling nanobots in your body, receive a frequency from the 5G towers, and voila, you are now instant zombie and you are seeing what they want you to see and you become part of their illusion. You'll be racked with fear, racked with panic, racked with whatever else they're going to put you with, and it's there that they can evoke the emotions of the individual person. What is their number one tool and instrument of control? It is fear. Fear is their number one tool of control. That's how they did everything. That's how they continue to do everything. And the problem with the Great Awakening is they cannot induce fear into people anymore. People's minds are opening and they no longer want to have anything to do with these control elements. But if they have the technology in them and they can't defend against it, then it comes in. Now, there is a cure. At least there is a protection. We know this. And this is why it is so essential that people stay in faith, in prayer, and stay vigilant with their eyes on God. I'm very serious about this. The effects that are going on right now, and if I truly believe that those that are walking through God, I speak here as part of the crowd, not part of the exception. We are literally going through a furnace, a fire. I think every single one of us in one way or another is being like racked with the fire of God because he's burning out everything that is not of him. It is literally refining the silver and burning away the dross. And it is a reason for this right now. There is a reason because there's something big coming and he needs his children literally to be clear of the corrupted elements that will allow some of this stuff to get in. Now, obviously, and if I was doing a live video, I'd probably just put on a tin hat right now because everybody would be like, all those other woke people would be like, yo, dude, like you're just smoking something. And like, nope, don't smoke. Don't do it. Don't buy into the drug scene. Never have. Don't drink. That's okay. All of this is coming from clear thinking and literally by digging in, seeing where they are going and linking the dots. This is powerful. It's super important to understand because we are coming into a big event. And they're also positioning it to be something else and to add more to it. Part of this are two major effects that are coming, okay? One is the replacement piece, which is huge. Larry Fink just spoke about how the societies of the future that are going to do the best are those that have suffered the most through population decline. Why would you say that? Because as this report will talk about, part of where they're going is to get people to submit to the state so they can do the true replacement strategy, which is not what you think it is. And this guy here, I swear he is a paid clown. Here we go.
I don't think anybody realizes how insane robots are going to be in the next few years. Humanoid robots are going to be the biggest product transformation that we've ever seen in history. Bigger than the car, bigger than the phone. 100 years ago, the car replaced horses, took them off the road. Within only 13 years of the car's invention, we went from 95% of people riding horse and buggy to only 20% of people. So that was a gigantic transformation, and it happened so fast. But this time, we are the horses. Artificial intelligence is increasing rapidly in its capabilities. We all know that. But Tesla is at the top of the food chain right now, right? They're way ahead of the curve. Tesla's full self-driving, which they've been working on for the past 5-6 years, has now implemented AI in its systems. It's end-to-end learning, which means there's no person coding what the car is doing. The car is learning on its own what's happening in its environment through cameras. So Tesla is quite literally trying to emulate a person's thinking and put it into the car for it to self-drive. A couple years ago, Tesla now has introduced its Tesla Optimus robot, which they're going to take the Tesla self-driving stuff and put it right into the robot. So the robot's going to have cameras and able to learn its surroundings just like a human learns. And now, with all the resources Tesla has, they're teaching their robots how to learn with videos. All they're doing is taking videos of people doing things and they're giving it to the robot, and the robot learns tasks from those videos, just like a person does. So this has solved the decades-long issue of, like, how the heck do we code all these things for the robots? I mean, that's a lot of coding, but when it comes to Tesla's new system, it's so easy, right? You can literally teach a robot to do anything, and the dexterity of the robot's fingers and hands and limbs is amazing as well. Tesla's Optimus Gen 2 robot has 11 degrees of freedom in their hands. In other words, the types of joints, right, that move around enable them to do certain things with their hands. 11 degrees of freedom is way further ahead than any other competitor, right? But guess what? Elon Musk has now recently said that the new Gen 3 robot coming out later this year is going to have 22 degrees of freedom in their hands. Now these robots are able to do very complicated and delicate tasks with their hands. Things that even humans have a hard time doing with their hands. How many degrees of freedom do human hands have? 27. Right, so it's very close to on par with what a human could do with their hands. And this is just the beginning for Tesla's robots. I mean, in 2022, they just started, you know, building these first prototypes. It's only a couple years later, and we've done so much progress in so little time. But with the rapid growth of this technology, within 5-6 years, these robots are going to be able to do anything a human can do, but perhaps even better, right? They're going to be able to replace all kinds of tasks that we do as humans. So what does this all mean for the economy and our jobs? Well, they're not going to replace our jobs completely within a couple years. But what's going to happen is they're going to slowly implement these robots, and large corporations are going to implement them in their warehouses, in their supply chains. And this is going to actually decrease the cost of goods all around the world because the labor for robots is so cheap. Think about it. A robot works all day, it never gets tired, it never sweats, never complains, it never drinks. It just comes down to the initial cost of these robots, which right now is about a couple hundred thousand. But within a few years, that cost could be down to 20,000. Companies are going to be scrambling for this technology. Imagine being able to purchase this humanoid robot that can replace anything a human can do with only $20,000 initial cost and infinite potential in production. As more and more companies purchase these robots, the cost of labor is going to dramatically decrease to perhaps less than a dollar an hour, perhaps pennies an hour. So in other words, the cost of products around the world are going to decrease dramatically in the future. And eventually, probably by 2030, it'll make sense for the average person to hire a robot to do their cooking for them, their laundry, or all kinds of stuff for them.
So here's the question that this guy doesn't... I'm going to play the whole clip tonight, and we're going to dig into this a little bit more. But literally, the question really that one has to ask is, okay, so where is the human economy? The whole point here is they have no intention of having a human economy. Humans are like cattle they are to harvest, and robots are the obedient masters. And this is where we're headed. So tie this all together now. Bring it all together, and what does it look like? And again, if you're tuning in tonight, because I'm going to go into this more in detail, there's a Greg Reese report I want to get into too, because it's important. But this is the whole picture. They've put in the vax. The vax has killed off a number of people. It's caused another group of people to be permanently disabled. All of that is profit margins, okay? And it's reduction in threat. Next phase about the vax is the vax are now inoculating people that have taken the vax and reinforcing the base of the material that's put in their body to transition them to transhumanists. Whether they like it or not, you took the vax. Here's the thing. If you took the vax, you're no longer a free person. You've lost your sovereignty because it's technically a gene therapy. By being a gene therapy and you've lost your sovereignty, they can now do whatever they want to you and you have no rights. That's provable, and it was upheld in the Supreme Court issue by Scalia in 1999, I believe, where anything that's a GMO, including human, becomes a product of the corporation. So anybody that took the vax is now officially a product of the corporation. Therefore, when we're looking around at all this and we're going, why are they doing this? Why are they able to come in and literally start to force all this stuff on us when we don't want it? Because you no longer have rights if you took the vax. And since 70% of the public, at least by their statistics, did so, the 30% is all that remains. It has is the hard line to stopping this tyranny. The rest of them are slaves. They've been lost. And now you bring in Project Bluebeam or some version of it. Why is that? Because those people that have the tech and it's needing to be reinforced are putting it in food, they're putting it in the air, they're putting it in your drinks, putting it in water. For the most part, us that are living healthy, strong in the body of Christ, I truly believe we are protected and our bodies are strong and doing its job. Probably why we also see certain ailments cropping up right now, like congestions of the chest, a variety of other things, because our bodies are expelling this garbage that they're trying to put in us. There's no way for it to connect unless you have the vax. And if you have the vax and that material is bonding, it's connecting, it's moving into with other self-assembling nanotech, it's moving in with the graphene oxide that's growing, it's moving in with the hydrogel, all of that's been in your system. Again, if they didn't need the shot, they wouldn't have used it. They would have just air sprayed everybody and turned everybody into a drone. So this is where we are. And so what's coming, in my opinion, is that they're coming to a major event, which will be a psychotic event. We're already dealing with global psychosis. And this psychotic event is going to be a projection, Project Bluebeam concept, but in the minds of people. And with that, there will be other things. People will not only be distorted in what they see in their optical plane, thanks to the nanotech and other things in them, but they will also be able to initiate certain diseases, disease X. So suddenly there's going to be a crop of people that start spewing blood. Why? Because it's in the vax. The vax is the control element, and it's in people. And so if you're one of those people that took the vax, it is really, really a problem. And here's the other problem, and I don't mean to be judgmental, but this is tactical reality. If you took the vax and there are unvaxxed teams standing, you must be removed from the unvaxxed teams. Why? Because you are a liability, not by your own control, but by the fact that you gave your will to another system and you are now part of that enslavement. Serious, dead serious. So this is really where we are standing right now. And this is a big event that is coming. And with that, as part that's going to tie in, which I'm going to get into in depth tonight, with this surge of people coming across the border, they're all positioning for one big, great event. It's going to be the big event of all time. And the big event of all time is going to be to finally break the will of humanity, erase them all from their freedom, enslave everybody, round up the bad ones, and put them in internment camps, process their bodies for food and whatever else, Soylent Green and other things, and body parts and ritual abuse or ritual sacrifice. And what remains in the population becomes subservient to the new class of robotics by 2030. Okay. Now, the good news is they're not going to win. It's just that simple. It's not going to win. But this is their last desperate act to hang on to control. And there will be some suffering along the way. I don't think there's any avoiding that. But hey, we got God. And that's truly it. So all of that, because all these things, and I noticed there's always some comments in chat, because this stuff gets very heavy. And it's heavy stuff, and it can consume you, and you go like, oh my gosh, the world is awesome. I was with chickens yesterday. I'm going to be with my cows today. Some people are with horses today. Some people are going to be planting their garden. Okay, the world is awesome. We just have to see what the enemy's doing and then just simply say, God, not having any part of it. And then when we pray and we speak life into the world, guess what? We change it. And that's what they fear the most, is we have the power of life and death in our words. So be empowered, be happy, cheer, celebrate, and go, Lord, I'm here, ready to fight. Raise your sword of the spirit and let's kick it. So tonight we'll go into more detail on that. If you're here now, you're going to hear some of these clips again tonight. There's some important information I want to get out, and we will burn up the turf tonight. It's good. And one last thing, great comment here in chat. Don't forget to laugh. I listened to this piece yesterday that literally was rebuking anybody that had a casual conversation with God. Literally, the guy's like, I was listening to a pastor, and he was just like, hey, God. And he's like, this guy has no reverence for God and blah, blah, blah. Here's the deal. Have a real relationship with God. He wants to live with you and be with you, experience with you. If that for you is always one of rigid and reverence and without any humor, okay. But I guarantee you God has a great sense of humor. Because if he didn't, he wouldn't have given it to us. So take some time to laugh. Have some laugh with our Father. Enjoy the stupidity of the world because it really is dumb. And these people really do believe they're greater than God. And when you really look at it from that lens and you realize just how arrogant they are blind, blind. They cannot see the glory of our Father. They cannot see the power of our King. And in the end of the day, they will all bow. Every knee will bow. It will bow. No questions. No dispute on that. Every knee will bow. And the best part is we're already on that winning side of the fight. It's good. Patriots, let's pray. Father God, I just want to begin with a blessing today to just bind and eradicate fear. This was a heavy conversation today. There's going to be another one tonight. And so I'm just sitting here this morning saying, all right, Father, we need to bind and eradicate fear. Bind it, gag it, and send it to the feet of the lake of fire. Because there is no fear when we walk with you. We have to be able to face truths, hard truths, understand the position of the enemy to understand how to pray. And as we pray, we accomplish what Christ told us we have. We have dominion over all evil. And so let us be empowered with those words. Let us be empowered with that concept. Keep our eyes laser focused on the cross, laser focused on our King. Just like Peter walking on water, watch Jesus, never take your eyes off, and let us achieve those greater works. We're in a really crazy time right now. Upheavals, a lot of deceit. This is tyranny by deception. This is what tyranny is. And in the end of the day, they are trying to foment a terror living, an experience in life that is so fearful, so crippling, so debilitating that it is not possible for us to do anything but to submit to their will. We shall not comply. We will always defy in the name of you, Father. The biggest thing here, Father, is just that people can understand that the answer to all of this is not difficult. Submit to you fully. Raise our hands. I submit, Father. Guide me where you want me to go. Direct me where you want me to be. Lead my heart. Lead my eyes. Lead my mind. Lead everything about me. I am yours. And when we truly submit to him, we overcome the greatest of evils. We defeat the attacks. Our armor becomes strong, and we literally stand in the gap and we say, no, not a chance today, Satan. You're not a chance today. This is a fight ultimately of a spiritual level, of an unprecedented level. and it is attacking humanity. Our mission has never changed. It is the greatest rescue mission in the history of humanity. We have to hold the line. We have to have our faith greater than we've ever had. We have to reinvoke the power of the Church of Acts, literally the fivefold ministries, to start bringing the miracles of the living God into this earth. We have to be able to show the healing and the miracles that you do, that you're there for us, because this is who we are. And as we do, there is nothing that this enemy can do. And so we begin this morning with these final words in this prayer. Father, we rebuke all that the enemy is attempting to do to delude and to enslave humanity. We pray a hedge of protection around every Christ follower, literally that they will become sealed from any attempt by this enemy to use them as tools of warfare. We pray life into the hearts of this humanity, life and spark life, and we speak life into this world, not death. We rebuke the power of death, we bind it, and we cast it to the lake of fire, and we call upon our King to stand here in this moment as we raise our arms to say no more. No more. Satan, you are done. And we declare that in the name of the children of the Most High, in the name of our King, Christ Jesus. Amen. Pray against it. Wage war against it, and is where we are. So nothing to worry about. Don't get stressed about these conversations. The biggest problem that happens, and I just say that only because I've seen a few comments in chat, and I'm not making a big deal about it, but these things do invoke fear. The topics are intended to by the enemy. Steal that away from them. Never have fear. Step into it. Look at something and say, that's what you're going to do. I'm going to pray against you. That's what you're going to do. I'm going to pray against you, and know that your prayers are heard. And if we will do that and hold that with our absolute truth and faith in God, they got nothing. Matter of fact, it's worse than nothing. Like, it's like a whole lot of money spent on nothing. Whole lot of money and time. They're like, yo, dude, all these years you spent to absolutely enslave us, you lose. We win because we've got God. All right, patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We are at war. So walk boldly and powerfully with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tonight for Bards FM. Until then, or until the next time, God bless and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man. And man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you,
ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. Push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light. That can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.